Yeah, this title that I got is Embracing Faith in the Midst of Rejection. Embracing faith in the midst of rejection. We all here today know what rejection feels like. That feeling of disappointment, anger, anxiety, all the things that comes with rejection. And this, before I get into it, I just want to give us some scripture before I start, just so that our minds and our hearts are prepared for this. Luke 24, verse 44 and 45 says, "He," who's Jesus, "said to them," his disciples, "this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture. That's my prayer this morning, that your minds would be open, that you might understand, that I may understand the scripture. Colossians 1:9, Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding, because when we go through this passage, there's certain things that the Holy Spirit just really highlighted to me about this. I'm not going to do everything, but we have to understand. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but in all our getting, get understanding." To understand means to comprehend what the Spirit is doing among us. So this is what Paul is saying. And in Ephesians 1:17, Paul again, he says, "I keep asking," and this is the prayer that I pray for Lisbon Baptist. What I'm saying here is what Paul said to the church. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Revelation means revealed knowledge. When people say, "I had a revelation," it means God has revealed something to you. In the book of Revelations, God has given John on the Isle of Patmos, he's given him this great vision of what was about to happen. Imagine we had this revelation after Disney Day tomorrow, that you can begin to see how God can, what he can do in the ministry of the children's ministry, of youth ministry. Only the revelation of God can open those things to us. And so this is what Paul is saying. "I pray that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Jesus better." I believe that Jesus wants to do amazing things in this church. I will keep saying this, but you know, fair play to the leadership of this church. There is movement. Amen? There is movement. And again, you know, Disney Day tomorrow, and all these things connect, because whenever I go to a church, I bring the sermon, but the Holy Spirit is still busy writing a sermon while I'm still in the midst of people. And that's always the crazy thing, because I've been preparing, and I know last night as I prepared again, and I was a bit tired, and I said, okay, I need to go to bed because I need to wake up 6 o'clock again for this word, what God is giving. And I know the Holy Spirit will always do this thing with me, and I made peace with that. He always keeps talking, and he says, because these people need to hear what I want to say. And so, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There's movement in this, in an LBC now, and it's really, really good that I see this. And God will, remember when God asked Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" And that very thing that he thought was insignificant, the Red Sea was opened. "Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it shall return back." Elijah asked the woman, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "I just have oil." And the prophet then said, "Go and get jars and fill it." It's only when all the jars, when there were no jars, then the oil stopped. Another example is the same today. What does LBC have for God to move and do something in the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, in the next 3, 4, 5 years? Can you see? Can you see the possibility, what God can do? We say, "Lord," Amanda said, "we have a room, a small room on the other side." And God will always fill what we present to him. So, "Lord, we've got a room over there, and Lord, we pray and we believe that you will fill that room with children and young people." Right? And this is the thing about, like, Disney Day tomorrow, there's another opportunity. And we know that God will use the children for the parents to come. So we say, Lord, we've got Disney Day too. And the Lord says, I will fill it. And that is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. I felt that that's what the Lord was saying as I sat there. He says, tell them about, it's not so much about what we can come up with, it's what we can give. Lord, we have this. Lord, we have this. And the Lord will fill that. So going to chapter 6 of Mark, John Mark, a companion of the Apostle Peter, and he, the cousin of Barnabas. In chapter 5, if we go back to chapter 5, there's all this faith statements happening. I don't know who preached on chapter 5 last week, but I just went to look a little bit of context of chapter 5. Remember, it was the demon-possessed man with the 2,000 demons, and Jesus comes in. They said, did you come to torment us before our time? You know, and Jesus' faith to help that man was just amazing, because that man went into the city and proclaimed the kingdom. Powerful. And then also the woman with the issue of blood, she had faith. She says, if I can only touch but the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. So her faith in believing that she can touch the hem of his garment, even though she had, what did she have? What kind of sickness did she have? The flow of blood. She said, and in that culture, if you are unclean, you're not supposed to be amongst people. This woman came through the crowd by faith. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. That's her faith in Jesus. Jesus did not do anything. She touched his garment, and Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And then is the same story is Jairus' daughter, where Jairus comes to Jesus and say, my daughter is sick, come and heal her. Word came back to Jesus, and Jairus says, don't bother the master, your child is dead. And Jairus' faith for his daughter unlocked the faith in Jesus to bring his daughter back to life. So this is why I was saying about the sermon title is Embracing Faith Even in the Midst of Rejection. Let's go to verse 1. Jesus left there, which we what I just said about the context, and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. Jesus was accompanied by his disciples. Accompanied by his disciples. This is powerful. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. I know what that feels. I don't know if you know, but that's a horrible feeling. That you bring good tidings and the people that you're trying to serve looks down at their nose at you. Who do you think you are? I get that a lot when I go back to South Africa. In December, I'm going back again. Oh, why does he talk English like that? Who does he think he is? He talks like the Queen. I'm like, nah, I don't talk like the Queen. Far from it. Far from it. But what they're saying is, you lived with us, and now you're living in the UK, and you think you're better than us. How they came up with that, I don't know. But Jesus came to his own, and his own rejected him. His own rejected him. Alex was saying about, imagine that time, the disciples followed Jesus to his hometown. It's like me taking LBC to Cape Town, and you see how people rejecting me. And you say, but we know Ricardo. Ricardo is blessing. He helps people. He loves people. They're not bothered by that. They are so used to being familiar to where I was. And this is what Jesus. Jesus comes and he wants to bless his community, preaching from village to village, and comes back home and he's bringing his mates and say, come on, come home. It's going to be amazing. And he encounters this. He encounters this where he wants to serve people and they rejected him. It says, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, there's a lot of amazement going on in this chapter, but some of the amazement, it's kind of like not amazed, it's kind of like a question, really, like thinking like, who do you think you are? So they were first amazed because he's speaking, and then it says, where did this man get these? Where does he get this? Isn't this Mary's son? And in the culture, a son would always be, the children would always be referred to as Ricardo, the son of Nicholas. But in this case, it's the son of Mary. Either if you are illegitimate, they will be like, we can't even mention your dad. That's how they made Jesus feel. He's the son of Mary. And I'm like, that's a rejection. That is so, like, Jesus going on. As I read this, I was thinking, like, I wonder what Jesus is going to say. Even when before he died for our sins, he said nothing. They plucked his beard. They spat on him. 39 lashes and never said anything. It's only when Pilate says, I can give you life or I can take your life. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. I can call legions of angels if it was about military power. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And I was just thinking, how many times when people reject us, we keep quiet? Mm-mm-mm. They will have a piece of your mind, right? If people come up against us, Jesus never did that. And says the people took offense. He just preached amazingly. And then they say, isn't this Mary's son? You know, who does he? He's a carpenter. He's this. Is it? And they took offense. And Jesus kept embracing faith, believing that as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, he comes back to give to his community. Jesus says in verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relative and his own home. I know what that feels like. Every time when I go to Cape Town and I preach, I don't feel the as much freedom as I have here, where I feel I want to be at LBC. I want to come and minister. Holy Spirit, touch me to touch them. When I go back home, is this questions that people have. And only this week, the Lord says, no. You only give to who wants to receive. Don't give to people who don't want to receive. If they reject you, I've never rejected you. If they reject you, I have accepted you. Whoever wants to think whatever they think about you, that's their prerogative. That's their thing. You are here. You're going back to South Africa and you're going to bless and help these young people become all that they need to be, regardless of who says what. And I know, like I said this morning, I said to Kristen, is that when I go home, every holiday you go home to work out family problems. You the guy. Oh, Ricardo's here. Sort out these problems. Welcome home. In your own hometown is you get all these things. And the Lord said this to me. If we look at the whole chapter of Jesus, he keep moving forward. He doesn't talk to them about it. He just keeps moving forward. He keeps moving forward. A prophet is without honor in his own hometown. And it's crazy because God started helping me in the ministry. The ministry started booming when I came to the UK. But it's the same guy from Cape Town. But back home, you won't be seen. And so I want to encourage you today that if you feel rejected, embrace faith. Embrace that God has got an amazing plan for your life, and that is what you need to focus on. You have to embrace the faith that you've got something to give. Even when we die, like we just heard this morning, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's the faith that we have. Yes, we still cry because we're losing a loved one that we loved. But their love, they're not dead. They're continuing in the glory of Jesus. Isn't that even then, when the new heaven and the new earth comes, we will have resurrected bodies. There'll be no sickness, no pain. Imagine that day. No anxiety, no depression. People won't need to talk about mental health, because we're all in good health. But it is the continuation. Sometimes when we reject it, and then we stop. We don't do it anymore. About 4 years ago, I got made redundant in City Church. And for three, four years, I never spoke to anybody about it. I kept coming. I kept serving. I kept embracing the faith, believing that God has put stuff in me to change the world and help the UK and Wales. So even though I got made redundant unfairly, So there's that rejection. And the Lord said, because they have rejected you, doesn't mean that I have rejected you. It's through that rejection that God has given me a ministry and a business. Isn't that powerful? When we embrace faith, I didn't tell anybody, I can tell now, and tomorrow I'm meeting somebody of the leadership that reached out to me and said, I need to say sorry. Embracing faith in the midst of rejection. Jesus was rejected, but he kept, the Bible says, what he says here, he could not do many miracles there, right? Except powerful. He couldn't do many miracles there because people had unbelief that this is just Ricardo, this is Maggie, who does she think she is, all of that stuff, the drama goes on. It says like he could not do many miracles except. So only go to the people that are receptive to what God has given you to give to them. All the other people, just let them be. Keep embracing faith in the midst of rejection. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and healed them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. I feel so good that I'm like, I could have put all these people on blast on social media. This is how they treated me. And I know that I have a massive following in Wales and in the UK. Whatever I said on social media, people would go for them. You know? And the Lord says, no, the battle is not yours. But victory is yours. Keep embracing faith. For 3-4 years, I didn't get paid. Me and my wife keep journeying. Keep spreading the love. Keep encouraging. Keep embracing faith. Keep bringing the best out of people. Because when we encourage others, the Bible says, he who encourages others encourages himself. So coming to LBC, you don't even know how I'm encouraged I am. And you say, oh, he's giving. No, as I encourage myself. So I got my healing here as well. You guys didn't know this stuff. Because it's not about telling the whole world what I've been through. It's about embracing faith. God will not bring me from Africa over here and make me an international homeless person. That I can brag in Cape Town and say, listen, at least I'm not a local homeless person. I'm international. God is good all the time. And he keeps doing what he's doing. And this is what God said. Tell them now about what has happened. So that they can say, what did I have to give to God? I've got a gift of encouragement. I said, Lord, I give it to you, even in my distress, even in my anxiety, even in the rejection, even in the stuff that I've been through. And I still need to look at these people every day and I need to encourage and bless them. Lord, I give to you. I'm embracing faith in the midst of rejection. And then in Mark chapter, from verse 6 to 13, Jesus now gives the authority to the disciples. So the disciples must have been like, and you know Peter, right? If you know Peter is a very different guy. Peter cut the man's ear off in the garden because they want to mess with Jesus. I was just thinking, I wonder what Peter was thinking in Nazareth when they rejected Jesus. Peter was like, do I take him out? Jesus, can I? They shouldn't mess with you. You're the Son of God. And the Bible says Jesus gave them authority. He didn't talk about, oh, going through a tough time right now. I don't know. I just need a week off. How tough I'm going every day. I don't know. I just close my curtains. Never did it. Because as followers of Jesus, I love Jesus so much. Because in this passage, he's showing me, even if I'm rejected, I still need to show up. I still need to show up. I still need to show up. He gave them authority, and then he gave them instructions. Remember the instructions? It says, don't take a bag, ladies. Don't take a bag with you. Don't take money. Take nothing with you. And the Bible says, if you go to somebody's house and they receive you, stay with them. If they reject you, just dust the dust off your feet. Don't go and tell them, yeah, but who do you think you are? But no, just dust the dust off your feet and go to the next house. Keep embracing faith in the midst of rejection. If they reject you, they don't reject you, they reject God. Blessed are those that are being persecuted for my name's sake. Keep embracing faith. Keep believing. God has given the disciples authority to do so. And it says when they went out, they healed people. They healed people. It was just amazing. And so this morning I was thinking, because we got to pray for our sister Emma, right? I'm going to pray for Emma. This is going to be so fun. This is going to be so fun because in the scripture, the Bible says he has given us authority to heal. Right? It's not me. I'm just saying what he's saying. He says he's given us authority to heal. So our sister is in need. And if she's in need, then it means we have to, God says, I will supply the need through you. And there's the altar, there is communion. And what happens in communion is when you pray for somebody, they can get healed. God has given us the authority to do so. And what I mean by faith, biblical faith means is to believe the impossible that God can do it. That's what faith is. Not faith, Muslim, and this faith, I have this faith, and you have that faith. No, faith is believing that God can do the impossible on a continuous basis. That is what faith means. That's what faith means. Not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word, which we're going to pray for you, Emma. And I know, like today, you don't need to be shy. You can just come to the front when I ask you to. Okay, was that okay? Yeah, that's my sister right there. And God wants to upgrade our faith. I hope that your faith was stirred because Romans 10:17 says, how does faith come? Faith comes by? And hearing by the? I just preached the word of God. And your faith is increasing when you hear the word of God. When we hear the testimonies of the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter, the demon-possessed guy, all that faith, God wants to upgrade a faith. I can't wait for my new phone to be upgraded to the iPhone 16 Pro Max. All of us wants to upgrade, right? Ooh. Oh, they're expensive. Not phones. Okay. Okay. Yeah, the point is the upgrade. When you go through trials and through rejection, there's a powerful thing what the Holy Spirit does. He upgrades you. James chapter 1 in verse 2 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various of trials. See, that sounds encouraging, isn't it? Consider this pure joy when you face various of trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance or patience have its perfect work so that you may not lack anything. So what does faith bring? That faith, there's something powerful about faith. Let me get this about faith. Dr. Miles Monroe says this, testing is built into the system of faith. So if you are tested today, your faith needs to be activated. That's how, I was like, God, why did you make it so hard? Just give us the power like the Power Rangers. We can just be like this and change and we go. Why do we have to go through tough times? It's hard, man. Jesus says, if you know me in my suffering, you shall know me in my glory. We want the glory, but we don't want the suffering. But yet God has built this whole faith and what he wants to do, he has built it through the testing. So the testing is built into the system of faith. If you look at my life, you will just see faith. And some of the stuff, I just don't understand how God does it. God says, believe me, I'll take you. Believe me, I'll take you overseas. Believe me. And then when you share these things with people, they'll be like, there's no way that it can be because their faith is not as your faith. Because each one of us, do you know you can increase your faith as well? We all have been given a measure of faith. How you increase the faith comes through trials. Oh my days. It's like, if Jesus didn't come to me by myself, I would be like, if that was the deal, I was like, Jesus, I don't want to serve you. Because that's not a good deal. I have to go through tough times to see the glory of God. But that's how we connect In the school that I'm in now in Lanishan, there's always testimony when I come back to this church to talk. Now we've got teachers doing Christian unions in school. We've got children that I mentor. I ask them, what's your goals? They say, I want to be much better in school. I want my behavior to change. And I want to serve Jesus. And the Lord said, can you hear that? God is raising up people in school. And they're talking about Jesus. And I've employed another person with me who loves Jesus because she's bringing the kingdom into school now. Can you see what I mean? How the increasing of the faith, there's trouble. God increases the faith and he says, consider it pure joy. Maybe we should have a party when we go through tough times. Nice, like next week, and just say, oh, we're having a tough time. We're having a party today. Maybe we should. Maybe we should not just have birthdays, but when you go through tough times. Because it's the testing of your faith that will produce something. You will lack nothing. It's in the Bible. In verse, remember when the disciples come back to Jesus and he feeds the 5,000. Now he feeds the 5,000. What Jesus did, he's upgrading their faith. So Jesus says, hey, these people are hungry. Give them something to eat. Do you know what they said? They started calculating the Tesco deal, the meal deal. They started calculating, oh, it's 5,000 people. There won't be enough. And Jesus asked them to feed 5,000. Jesus knows what he's doing. From Nazareth, they saw how he was rejected, but he kept the faith. He moves on, he gives them authority. He moves them, he gives them authority. They now go out. They say, it's working, Jesus. They come back with a praise report into the 5,000. And Jesus says, feed these people. And they said, oh, no, 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 no. And then Jesus broke the bread. He blessed the food. He gave it to the disciples and says, now you give to them. And there were 12 baskets left. That's an upgrade of faith. Me and you, if that happened to us, we will go anywhere. Because he fed 5,000 and there were 12 baskets left. That was just 5,000 men except children and their mothers. So it could have been 15 to 20,000. And there's still 12 left. I mean, if Jesus then said, go and pray for Emma, I'll be like, come on, Emma, let's pray for your back. Let's pray for your spine. Let's pray for God to heal it because he can do a creative miracle. That if you get to the doctor, which you have to go to the doctor, but the doctor said something has shifted. Your back is healed. We don't know. It must be a miracle. Imagine that. How would LBC be? If we said, now go out to the highways and byways, you're like, yeah, let's go. My car's already idling. Let's just get in and go. This is what God is saying today to us. Embrace the faith. Embrace even if you go through a tough time. And I know some of you are going through a tough time, but it's also the right time for your faith to be activated. Your faith to be activated. It's not a good time. It's not a good place to be in. But like I said, tomorrow I'm meeting with this young man. The people that thought me just being a guy just, you know, on the wayside, are the very people now who sees what God has done in me. So I was the rejected one for them, but now they're calling on me to ask for spiritual guidance for what God wants to do in the nation. I'm bragging in the Lord. I am giving him praise for that because they think I've got all this knowledge, all this wisdom as it just appeared all of a sudden. It was the trials and the circumstances that caused me to be holding on to Jesus. And he takes us from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. And I feel good about that, that God will vindicate you. You don't need to do anything. God will vindicate. Don't need to worry. Just get your Bible out and begin to study the Word of God, worship Jesus, and see what he does. Keep embracing faith. And I started my foundation. My foundation in South Africa is... It's registered, everything is ready. Like Meg is saying, this is the struggle we find in Africa. You pay for school. It's hard. And God says, I've raised you up. Because of the faith that you have in me that I can do it, I'm going to use your name in your community. And you'll feed the homeless, you'll feed the hungry, you'll pay for school fees, uniforms, stationery, all this stuff. And do you know what I say? Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Do I have any money? No. Do I need money? Yes, but do I need money for God to partner with God? No. I need to have faith. I need to have faith to believe that God will make the impossible possible. It's just me who needs to embrace it. And I can't wait. So I'm going to launch it in South Africa in December, launching it with a primary school that I'm at and the primary school I went to. And I'm going to get all the government leaders, like you're saying, I'm bringing all these government leaders and embarrassing them. And so how can a guy from the valleys in Wales, take care of kids that you're supposed to be taking care of? And God is moving and moving, and then the government will partner with us and say, give us the money, we got our own people who will do it. God will give us vision moving forward. That's what I said this morning. What does LBC have? We've got a hall for kids to come, Lord. Do it in Jesus' name. I was willing just to say, Lord, you've expanded my mind further than the borders of Africa. So I've got a different mentality. So I can go in because I'm ready to go in. Keep embracing faith in the midst of rejection. So Emma, can I pray for you quick?